Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning, this Jummah morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a day in which we can find and we can accrue the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we have now begun the month of Sha'ban. It is a great month indeed, and it is, some as ulama ikram explained, it is now a curtain raiser to the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of spending these days and these nights in the way that we should be doing, increasing in our ibadat, etc., so that when it comes to the month of Ramadan, then we are fully geared up, we are fully in practice of getting out the extra forms of ibadat, and then in the month of Ramadan, we can take maximum benefit from the beautiful and the auspicious month of Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in these days of Sha'ban and grant us life that we can see the auspicious month of Ramadan. Being a Friday morning, every Friday between the hours of 9 and 10, we have the Sahaba Focus. Our guest on this program is Maulana Muhammad Aku from Newcastle, and Maulana speaks on the lives of the Sahaba, concentrating particularly on the lives of those Sahaba that are not very well known. Maulana started, Maulana spoke last week on the father and son Sahaba, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, who was the adopted son of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Zayd had a son by the name of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, and both these Sahaba, Hazrat Zayd as well as his son Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala, who were indeed very, very, very much loved by Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on numerous occasions made it very, very well known to the Sahaba that these two, father and son, are very, very, very beloved to me. So Mawlana continues the discussion. Mawlana did start the discussion last week on these two Sahaba. Mawlana continues the discussion this week, and towards the end of the program, Mawlana speaks on the importance of Salah. We know with the month of Rajab having passed by, the night of Mi'raj, Mawlana speaks a very, very, very important few points on the importance of Salah and how to correct our Salah. Let us listen attentively.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya akhar al-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our respected revered listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for his mubarak deen and enable us to understand the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and may Allah give us tawfiq to emulate them, to inculcate their lives into our lives, and to pass their message to mankind. We were discussing this great Sahabi, Usama radiallahu anhu. Usama bin Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. And we were discussing his great status before the senior Sahaba as well. He was so great, he was so revered, that even Umar radiallahu anhu, when Umar radiallahu anhu would see him, he would welcome him saying, "Welcome my Amir." So Usama radiallahu anhu would say, "Please, Amir al-Mu'mineen, how can I be your Amir?" He says, "No, I will address you with Amir, because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world and he sent Sahaba out, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent you as the Amir, and I was with that army." So that was how he was respected by Umar radiallahu anhu. He was respected by all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he was very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were discussing some reports, some ahadith narrated by him. And we'll discuss some of those ahadith, and then we will discuss the incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as Amir, inshaAllah. One incident we finished off with was a report by Usama radiallahu anhu. This comes in the Bukhari with the whole sanad from Usama radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took me along with him to visit Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, who was ill. And he passed by a gathering of a mixture of different people, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped there and greeted everyone. And because he had come, his donkey had aroused some dust. So Abdullah bin Ubay blocked his nose and in a belittling tone said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "La tughabbiru alayna," don't make it dusty for us here, causing us harm. The Messenger of Allah greeted and spoke to the audience sitting there together about Allah, and everyone was interested, so he recited some Quran. And Abdullah bin Ubay then commented saying, "O individual, ayyuhal mar, we know there's nothing better than what you say. if it is true, please don't harm us by coming to us. Go to your house, and whoever comes to you, you can tell him about this incident and these stories. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu was upset. O Nabi of Allah, always come to us, please. فَغْشَنَا بِهِ فِي مَجَالِسِنَا فَإِنَّا نُحِبُّ ذَلِكَ. O Allah, Nabi, we love it when you share with us and you come to us, that we must come to you and you must come to us whenever you want to share with us. O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama radiallahu anhu says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed there, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's donkey then passed urine there. So Abdullah bin Ubay, obviously not directly by the gathering, further away from the gathering. So Abdullah bin Ubay again commented something derogatory. So Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu said that the urine from the donkey of the Blessed Messenger of Allah is even more fragrant than your musk, Abdullah bin Ubay. That was the respect Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the disrespect Abdullah bin Ubay had. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to visit the sickly Sahabi Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, and they went away. We learned great lessons from here, that when brothers come to share with us the message of deen, we should take it as an opportunity and show that respect for those few minutes and hear about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't be disrespectful. We should imitate the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the respect they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when brothers come to us, their message is Allah's deen. Their talk is Allah's deen. And the reason they're coming is no ulterior motive. Also, we should ponder that they're tired like we also tired. They're also working the whole day. But the few minutes they're taking out to meet brothers for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another report narrated by Usama. So Usama radiallahu anhu is the narrator of that hadith, and he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion. And then the report of Usama radiallahu anhu is that he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who commands with good and forbids evil, he must strive to practice the same. Otherwise, in the day of judgment, the people of Jahannam will come to him and will say, what happened? How are you in Jahannam? You commanded, advocated good, and we got Jannah through your advisors. So he says, I would advocate good, but I never made any effort in practicing it myself. I would forbid evil, and I never made effort in forbidding it and staying away from it myself. So like this, there's many, many ahadith. This is a beautiful report. What he says, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ تَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ فَيَقُولُ بَلَا قَدْ كُنْتُ أَمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا آتِي وَأَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَآتِي. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the same person would be in hellfire and he would be going around his intestine, like how a donkey goes round and round the millstone. And then the people of Jahannam would say to him, that you used to do this, and you used to do that, you used to say this and that. Then he gives that answer, that I didn't practice it myself, and I didn't stay away from it myself. So we learn from here that yes, we must enjoy good with the intention that Allah, you give us tawfiq to practice it. Because from this report, we mustn't misunderstand that, okay, that means if it's not in my life, I can't share it. No. This is that person who just shares it with others with no intention of practicing. He just shares it because he wants to share it for fame or for different reasons. But that person who advocates and shares with others with the intention that, Allah, I want you to come into my life. I'm speaking of tahajjud, that Allah, you give me tawfiq, and so forth. So like that, this person will not get the same punishment. This is a report in Bukhari. Now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, was leaving this world, he was sending Sahaba radiallahu anhum to Rome. And he appointed Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu as the Amir of that expedition. But the amazing part is that Usama radiallahu anhu was only 18 at the time. He was not of very advanced age. And there were senior Sahaba with Usama radiallahu anhu in this expedition. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through that noor of Nubuwwah, chose Usama radiallahu anhu to be the Amir. This is the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is also showing us the status of Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Usama radiallahu anhu was chosen as the Amir, in that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on emphasizing, has the army of Usama gone? Has the army of Usama gone? Usama radiallahu anhu's army had left, and they had camped at a place called Turuf, outside Medina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself tied the banner, and he gave it to Usama, who's the Amir, and Usama radiallahu anhu had appointed Burayda bin Husayb, Burayda bin Husayb Aslami, to be in charge of the banner under Usama radiallahu anhu. All the senior Sahaba was with Usama radiallahu anhu in this expedition. Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Umayla bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Sa'd bin Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Sa'id bin Zayd, Qatada bin Nu'man, Salama bin Aslam radiallahu anhu, all these senior Sahaba were with. And during the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama heard about that, so he was worried. So they stayed camped at Yunuf. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very ill. It was about 2 days before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, was where someone commented, why was Usama made the Amir? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was carried out of his home, and he was helped to get onto the minbar, he said, وَمَا مَقَالَةٌ بَلَغَتْنِي عَنْ بَعْضِكُمْ فِي تَأْمِيرِ أُسَامَةٍ. I've heard that there's some statements going around in regards to my choosing Usama as Amir. وَلَئِنْ تَعَتْتُمْ تَعَنْتُمْ فِي إِمَارَةِ أُسَامَةٍ. If you don't like me choosing Usama as my Amir of this expedition, and you're finding fault in that, and you're making some accusations, you've done the same thing in the time of Muta, when I chose his father as Amir. By Allah, his father was certainly worthy of Imara, of leadership, being the Amir. And his son, Usama, is most certainly worthy of being Amir. And they are the most beloved of all people to me. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they have great qualities in them. Usama has great qualities in him after his father. Wastawsu bihi khayra. Treat him well, with respect, with goodness, with obedience. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ خِيَارِكُمْ. He's of the, among the best of you. So this is a report in the Tabaqat of Al-Dus'ad. This hadith itself is showing us the great status Usama radiallahu held before Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trained him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him. One day before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, Usama radiallahu anhu comes back because his mother wrote to him that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is really ill. And he comes by the messenger of Allah. Usama radiallahu anhu bends down his head and he kissed the messenger of Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started making dua. He started raising his hands to the sky. And then placing his hands on Usama. Raising his hands to the sky. And placing his hands on Usama radiallahu anhu. Usama radiallahu anhu says, عَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ يَدْعُوا لِي. I realized that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua for me. Then Usama radiallahu anhu went back to his camp. And then when it was on Monday, it was the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, and it was the 11th year after Hijrah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regained consciousness that morning after Fajr. And during the Fajr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened his curtain and he saw the Sahaba performing Salah behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the Imam appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now if we analyze the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, where did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resided in the last week? He chose to be with Aisha radiallahu anha because it was hard for him to shift from house to house. So he spoke to his wives in this regard. So he was in Aisha radiallahu anha's house. Aisha radiallahu anha's house, if the door would open into the masjid, it was straight in line with the first saf. Exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, that's exactly where Aisha radiallahu anha's house was. Or Aisha radiallahu anha's house is. And the door from there going into the masjid, it would open facing the first saf. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are in the salah, and they see the curtain move. Sahaba say it was almost that we went into fitna, meaning we almost broke our salah out of joy that the Messenger of Allah is better. The Messenger of Allah is better, because Sahaba radiallahu anhu were very emotional throughout that last week. They weren't even going home. They were there in the masjid waiting to hear and see any good result, any improvement in the health of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it was from the Thursday when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Maghrib Salah. He went home, and after that he fell unconscious. He didn't come out after that for Isha, and he kept on falling unconscious repeatedly. He appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the imam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did the imamate from Thursday Isha right till Monday Fajr. That is 17 salahs during the blessed life of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made imamate for 17 salahs. It was one day when the Messenger of Allah managed to come out, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was performing the salah, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stepped back. The Messenger of Allah said, "Stay where you are." And he sat next to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu emulated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salah, and the whole congregation followed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because he was making the sounds of takbir to shift from posture to posture. It was that Monday morning when everyone felt that the Messenger is feeling a little better. Even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after that asked ijazat, "O Nabi of Allah, my wife who's just out of town, it's sunnah. Can I just go see if everything is okay there?" Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave ijazat. Allah ta'ala improved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's health in that last day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy to see his ummah carrying on in the worship of Allah and in the service of deen even when he is going to leave. That's what made him very, very happy when he saw Sahaba radiallahu anhu establishing the salah and carrying on with the deen. And it was approximately at charge time. There's different reports at charge time, or just after Zawal, approximately at that time, or just before the next salah came in, approximately at that time, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. It was a very, very sad incident. It was very, very emotional. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were crying, were emotional. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu remained firm. He came from Sunnah, and he uplifted everyone. He had the strength, and he gave that strength to everyone. And he recited the verses of the Quran, wherein Allah says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. He is but the messenger of Allah. Many messengers of Allah have gone before him. So if he leaves this world, afa'imbata, or if he is made shaheed, qutila, would you now turn your backs or turn your heels unto Allah? In qalabtum ala aqabikum, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ, he who turns his heel and turns away from Allah, he will not harm Allah in the least, and Allah will reward the appreciative ones in abundance. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and he who would worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world, and he who worships Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ever living, was always there, is always there, will always be there. Allah is ever living. Allah will never ever die. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu rendered this, and everyone received himmat from the words of Abu Bakr Siddiq, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then the mashura was done, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum were unanimous on this, that there was a discussion, mashura, and everyone agreed that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will be the Amir, will be the Khalifa, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him for Salah. And imagine all the other matters. That was a clear indication. And in many other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and indicated to the Khilafah, to the rulership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after him. Even before he left, he said that Allah and the Muslims will refuse anybody but Abu Bakr. يأبى الله والمسلمون إلا أبا بكر. And Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه became the Khalifa. Among the first tasks that he carried out was making sure that the Sahaba, the Satis of Usama and his Satis must be gone. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized that so much. Usama رضي الله عنه was very young. So there was some discussion amongst the Sahaba, the Satis of Usama رضي الله عنه, where they said to, first thing they said to Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه was, few Sahaba, that we feel that it's not the appropriate time for Usama's army to go out. Because we worried that there's irtidad happening around Medina. Or Medina could be attacked. Rather, this army shouldn't leave now. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who strictly followed every teaching, every injunction, every guideline of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was upset and he said, by Allah, by that being in whose hand is the life of Abu Bakr, even if the wild animals had to come into Medina, even if As-Siba, the wild animals had to come and attack and rampage Medina, لو ظننت أن السماع تخطفني, to attack me and snatch me, still لأنفذت بعث أسامة, I would send Usama رضي الله عنه army out in the path of Allah. Because that was the instruction of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولو لم يبقى غيري في القرى لأنفذته. And if there was no one in the town except me, then too, I would send this army out. Because this was the instruction of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some of the Ansar spoke to Umar radiallahu anhu. And okay, Amir al-Mu'mineen says the army, al-Khalifa, the Khalifa of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says the army must go. We agree. But one request. Can Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appoint someone more senior, someone of seniority, someone more elder than Usama radiallahu anhu? So Umar radiallahu anhu takes permission from the Amir Usama, goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he says, the Ansar are asking you to appoint someone else of more advanced age than Usama. فَوَثَبَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَكَانَ جَالِسًا. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu jumped up from his posture. He grabbed the beard of Umar and he said, oh Umar, تَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكْ. It's a phrase of Arabic, in Arabic, that portrays anger and dismay. Oh Umar, how could you say such a thing? وَعَدِمَتْكَ جَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَتَأْمُرُنِي أَنْ أَنْزِعَ. Allah's Nabi has appointed him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you want me to depose him and appoint someone else? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very, very upset. Umar radiallahu anhu was shivering. فَخَرَجَ عُمَرُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. He went back to the Sa'atis. He said, now see what you did to me. You made Amir al-Mu'mineen upset with me. I just conveyed to him your message. Now because of your مَا لَقِيتُ فِي سَبَبِكُمْ مِنْ خَلِيفَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was how Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه held on firm and steadfast to the teachings, to the guidelines of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه comes to the army of Usama رضي الله عنه, and he meets them and he now ushers them out of Medina Munawwara. They were 3,000 in number. Rasulullah gave them a lot of advice during his life, his blessed life. He said to them, how should you all go? Where should you all go? What to do? Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is ushering them out of Medina. 1,000 horses, 3,000 men. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is walking next to Usama. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's conveyance was behind him, you know, holding his bridle in his hand, and he was walking. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu actually was bringing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's conveyance. And Usama respectfully and bashfully said, Ya Khalifata Rasulullah, oh the Khalifa of Rasulullah, by Allah, please, you must ride, or else I'm going to get down. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, you will not get down, and by Allah, I will not ride. وما علي أن أغبر قدمي في سبيل الله ساعة. What is the matter? Why shouldn't I not make my feet dusty for a little while at least in the path of Allah Ta'ala? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, why shouldn't I also tip my feet in dust in Allah's path for a little while. Imagine Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's status. Of course, he is the Khalifa. He is in the path of Allah all the time. He is in the service of Allah's deen. But look at his love for his sati, and look at his love for the importance of what Usama radiallahu anhu is doing, who is going in Allah's path to fulfill this important task. He's walking alongside him, and he's saying, I also should tip my feet in the dust in Allah Ta'ala's path. This was the love Sahaba radiallahu anhu had for deen. They were not contented in regards to amal. In dunya, they had contentment. In deen, they wanted more. And this is what our deen teaches us. In dunya, we should have contentment. In deen, there is no contentment. A person can't say, no, I have enough amal now. Or I did enough for deen now. There's no such thing. For dunya, we want more. More branches we want to open. Better salaries we want to acquire. More achievements. Dunya, we worldly achievements we want to acquire more and more. Allah's deen, we feel satisfied that we did in the past and we don't have to do now. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were the best, who were the greatest, who did everything for Allah's deen, till their last breath they were worried that Allah preserve and protect our iman. Till their last breath they were worried that every opportunity must be used to serve Allah's deen. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Usama radiallahu anhu, O Usama, I have one request. إِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنْ تُعِينَنِي بِعُمَرْ. If you feel so, that you can help me by leaving Umar behind, if you feel it's not a problem, then please give me that ijazat. Look at this, my respected elders. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the ruler. But Allah's Nabi had sent this army under Usama, and Umar radiallahu anhu was part of this army. My respected elders. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is worried. I'm appointed as the Amir. I need Allah's help. I need guidelines. I need guidance. I need some support. So he's requesting Usama, if you permit Umar to stay behind to help me. Look at his humility, my respected elders. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's humility. I need help also. But I can't do it without you, because you are the Amir of the army. And he was part of your army. Usama radiallahu anhu said, of course, that Umar radiallahu can remain with Abu Bakr radiallahu. And then at a certain point, they were going, and Abu Bakr radiallahu was giving them very, very beneficial advices. Then he stopped them at a certain point, and he rendered these advices, wherein he said, O people, I want to tell you certain pertinent points, advices, bi'ashirin, remember them. La takhunu, never be disloyal. Wa la taghullu, never ever steal from the booty. وَلَا تَغْدِرُوا, never betray anyone. Never betray anyone as Muslims. وَلَا تُمَثِّلُوا, and do not mutilate. When you fight in battle also, don't mutilate anyone at all. Don't fight or harm any little child, nor an elderly sheikh, kabiran, an elderly man, nor a woman. Don't cut down date palm trees or trees. وَلَا تُحَرِّقُوهُ, nor should you burn down trees. Don't cut down fruitful trees. وَلَا تَقْطَعُوا شَجَرَةً مُثْمِرَةً, don't slaughter sheep or cows or camels unless you are eating them, unless to eat, not just to shed blood. And you'd pass people on your journeys who have freed themselves for worship in their monasteries and their churches, and they're spending all their time there. Leave them to occupy themselves in what they have freed themselves for. And you will come to a nation that people will offer you lots of food. The adiyatin fiha alwadu ta'am, different delicacies. Whenever you eat something, and then they'll bring something else for you to eat, never forget Allah. فَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا. Take Allah's name on that food. And every time the food comes, take Allah's name. And many advices like this Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave. And an advice that was given by Abu Bakr, by Rasulullah, first of all, to all his Sahaba who are going out, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also, that always start off with Dawat. Dawat must be given first to any opponent. First Dawat must be given. First Dawat must be given. And then the option must be given. That was always, my respected listeners. This whole report of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walking out with Usama radiallahu anhu, this comes in Hayatul Sahaba volume 2, page 22, and carried further after that. It's quite amazing and this beautiful, beautiful advices that all of us should actually refer to it and study it and read about the great Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And then this army went out in the path of Allah ta'ala. When the Roman emperor heard that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, on the same token and in the same message he heard that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's army is out in the path of Allah, they were thinking maybe we'll attack them now because the messenger has passed away. But now he heard that the army is out in the path of Allah and they have been seen in so many different areas. So he was so worried. He says, look at the power of these Muslims. And they actually pulled back any intention of attacking Medina because they said the Muslims are too powerful. Look at the wisdom behind Rasulullah's teachings. There was not much in Medina Munawwara. The main Sahaba were out in the path of Allah Ta'ala with Usama radiallahu anhu. But this had a great impact on the different rulers around that, look at the Muslims. Their messenger has left this world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they're still striving in Allah's way. And Usama radiallahu anhu came. Urwa bin Zubayr says, فَمَا رُؤِيَ جَيْشٌ كَانَ أَسْلَمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشِ. There was an army that came back without any losses, so peacefully, like this army was never seen before. With barakat, the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they went and they came back very, very peacefully with a lot of booties, alhamdulillah. Usama radiallahu anhu narrated many, many ahadith. He is known as one of those sahaba who would pass fatwa and verdict. Lot of knowledge. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says that 128 ahadith have been narrated from Usama radiallahu anhu that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And senior sahaba would narrate hadith from him. Like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu would also narrate from Usama radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, they would narrate hadith from Usama radiallahu anhu. And many tabi'een also would narrate hadith from Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Usama radiallahu anhu gave his life serving Allah ta'ala's deen, sacrificing in the path of Allah ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the hadith that he narrated is also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِالطَّاعُونَ بِأَرْضٍ. If you hear that there's a certain plague in a certain ground or earth or place, don't go there. But if you are there and the plague comes, don't leave that land. So there's many ahadith of Usama radiallahu anhu. We just completed the incident where he was appointed as the Amir. One amazing thing about Usama radiallahu anhu, whenever there was fitna and whenever there was trial and whenever there was disunity between Muslims, he never ever fought against Muslims. He never ever fought against Muslims. He never ever spoke against Muslims. He just kept his tongue and didn't fight against Muslims at all. Even when Ali radiallahu anhu asked him, and he explained that this is something I can never ever do, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him on that one occasion where the one man was harming the Muslims, attacking the Muslims, right, left, right and center. Usama radiallahu anhu went for him, and just before Usama radiallahu anhu struck him, he said, La ilaha illallah. Usama radiallahu anhu felt that he's saying this just to save his life, and he said, I still finished him off. And when the report was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was very, very upset. So his whole life he spent serving Allah's deen. He lived right till the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And as I just mentioned, that all the khulafa really respected him. Even Umar radiallahu anhu, I'm just repeating, Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever he would see Usama, he would say that, welcome to my Amir. So Usama would say, may Allah forgive you, Amir al-Mu'mineen, how can you say that? He says, no, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, he appointed you as the Amir and I was unto you. That was the respect Usama radiallahu anhu had. And he left this world. Toward the end of his life, he moved to a town called Mizrah. Mizrah. This is towards Damascus, southwest of Damascus. Many Sahaba would live there also. And just before he left this world, he moved to Medina Munawwara. And it was in the year 54 Hijri when Usama radiallahu anhu left this world. One day, the daughter of Usama, her name was Fatima bint Usama, went to visit Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Now Usama radiallahu anhu's daughter was of a very advanced age at this time. She was very old, elderly, and she had her servant holding her hand. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz gets up from his chair where he sits as the Khalifa, or from his majlis, his place. He gets up and he goes to Usama radiallahu anhu's daughter. He walks to her. He takes her hand as an elderly lady, and he takes her along and helps her, and he makes her sit in his place, where he sits as Amir al-Mu'mineen, because Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi was the ruler of the Muslim world from 99 to 101. And then he passed away after that. So during this interim, when Fatima visited him, he shows her such interest. And he says, Ma, whatever you want, ma taraka laha haja illa qada, anything you need, I am your khadim, I will make his khidmah for you. This was how Usama radiallahu anhu's family was also revered by the tabi'in and so forth, and the Muslims. Abdullah bin Dinar reports that one day Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was in the masjid, and he sees one man dragging his cloth, his garment, in one corner of the masjid. So Abdullah bin Umar says, just see, who's that man? I wish he was here. I want to tell him that he shouldn't be dragging his kurta. So someone said to him, hey, that's Muhammad ibn Usama. Usama radiallahu anhu's son, Muhammad. So Abdullah bin Umar looked down and he said, and he said, لو رآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبه. If only Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم had seen him, Allah's Nabi would have loved him. But Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu meant to us that like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Zayd bin Haritha, and he loved the son of Zayd bin Haritha, and he loved who was Usama, and he loved the mother of Usama, meaning Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu anha, like that he would have loved Usama's son Muhammad. Allah give us really, may Allah give us the love of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and may Allah ta'ala accept us for his deen, and may Allah enable us to serve this Mubarak deen. In a few minutes, my respected listeners, there's something really beautiful in the Fazail-e-Amal that I would love everyone to refer to. It's in the chapter of Salah. Because we just had Rajab right now. You know, it just completed. And it was in this year, a month, that Allah took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey of Mi'raj. So in the chapter of Salah, In the Fazail-e-Amal, there's beautiful advices here in regards to how to perfect our Salah, right at the end of the Virtues of Salah. So Virtues of Salah is the third book, and right in the Fazail-e-Amal, and right at the end of the Virtues of Salah, Mulana Zakariya rahmatullahi mentions that there's 12,000 virtues in Salah, which can be achieved through 12 points. If a person has to acquire the full benefit of Salah, he must take care of these points. So I request one and all to actually study these 12 points. I'm going to just crux them in a few minutes. And we should also refer to it, try and emulate it, practice it. Every order of Allah Ta'ala came down to the earth. For this gift of Salah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken to the heavens. So the first point that's mentioned is the point of knowledge, ilm. As Muslims, we must have the knowledge of deen. We must understand deen. Each point branches up into three. So number one, in regards to knowledge, we must know which of the practices of Islam are fard, which are sunnah. Number two, what is fard and what is sunnah in wudu and salah? And number three, how does shaitan cause obstruction in the proper observance of salah? This is in regards to knowledge. After knowledge, point number two is wudu. Wudu, we must try to clean our hearts of jealousy and malice as we wash our body parts. So while we're making wudu, we should ask Allah, Allah, I'm washing my limbs. Allah, my heart is in your hand. You cleanse my heart. Number two, we should keep ourselves clean from sins. And number three, in wudu, we should not be wasteful, nor should we be abstemious. Meaning wasteful, we should not be